Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 4 o'clock hour here on the Hockman and Crowder program. I know everybody's in kind of a weird state of mind because of the storm, which is making its way. I'll give you a little update, making its way towards the West Coast. And then we've got obviously the bye week with the Dolphins and the Hurricanes. And so it's kind of a down week. I'm battling a sore throat, as you can probably tell, but we are getting through it together. We will begin the 4 o'clock hour here with the stock market report that is sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. Dow Jones up 431 points today, and the S&P 500 up 40 points, the NASDAQ up 108 points. So a nice day on Wall Street. Rob Pizzola will join us this hour with some picks, probably in the next couple of minutes, from the great nation of Canada. Always enjoy getting picks from him. We'll begin, though, as we wait for Rob, with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
All right, guys. So, you know, last night the vibes were immaculate at Amerant Bank Arena as the Florida Panthers came away not only raising their championship banner, but also with an ass-kicking of their biggest rival, the Boston Bum Bruins. 6-4.
Indeed they did. It was a fun night in Sunrise.
6-4. The Panthers are back at it mañana, and they go out on the West Coast. They've got a little, they go out on the road. They've got a little road trip. They're in Ottawa tomorrow. They'll face the Senators. Then they're in Buffalo to face the Sabres. Then they'll be in Boston on Monday to face the Bruins. That'll be an afternoon puck drop before they finish out a four-game early road trip in Columbus to face the Blue Jackets. That'll be next Tuesday, and then they're back at home a week from tomorrow. They'll host the Vancouver Canucks at Amerant Bank Arena.
You know, now that you say that, I forgot about it, but tomorrow, I was saying in the last segment, I'm hunkered down, watch a little Thursday night football. I actually watched the Panthers-Ottawa game. That's 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock game. I think the football game starts at, what, 8:15, 8:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch a little Panthers. I'm just looking at the line right now. Panthers are a minus 140 favorite in Ottawa, -1.5 on the goal line at plus 160.
I had to make us some money early in this season.
Yeah, I did yesterday on the over.
Yes, which you didn't tell me about.
I think I did.
Hey, speaking of tomorrow, it's the Niners and the Seahawks. Low-key, a big game, because the 49ers, I get it, they're without Christian McCaffrey, so they're not healthy, but they've kind of been bad. They're 2-3 this year. The Seahawks lead that division right now, and if the Niners were to lose that game on the road, by the way, in Seattle, they would have a strong lead in that division in the NFC West, because Seattle right now is 3-2. Cardinals and Niners are both 2-3. Rams are 1-4. They're all banged up as well.
The Niners are falling off in the NFC now.
Yep.
Vikings better than them. The Lions. Lions, I think they're the best NFC team right now. I love the way they play with old man Campbell riding his shark up to New England when he was our head coach. And then I still like the Bucks, man.
I do too.
I think the Bucks, the defense of the Bucks. Baker Mayfield with his $100 million. I like the Bucks.
What do you say?
I'm going to ask Pizzola for his pick on tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, what do you say? We ask Pizzola right now. He is connected.
Oh, there you go. Rob Pizzola. Look at that. From the great nation of Canada. Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler. He comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, which is part of the Hammer Betting Network. Forward Progress produces daily NFL betting content to keep you informed, help you get a step up on the books. Check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
We were going to take today off. We're battling a huge storm here. Things are going south quickly. My health is fading. I barely have a voice, but Rob demanded that we do the show live. He did not want to miss this segment. I talked with him this morning. He said, I don't care. Come hell or high water, I want you guys on the air at 4 o'clock. And here we are.
That's not entirely true. I actually asked for Mark and Crowder both to be in studio today as well. I said, I'm not doing it unless you guys are in studio. No, honestly, I hope everyone stays safe out there. I did message Mark yesterday and said, listen, if we don't want to do the show, it's all good. But yeah, stay safe out there. Obviously,
Rob was one of the nice people to message me and say, hey, stay safe. I'm thinking of you. And I sent him back a picture of me in the Stanley Cup because we did the show at the arena last night. They brought the Stanley Cup over.
Yes. Also not entirely true. He sent me first a picture of a parlay that he made last night and then a picture of him in the Stanley Cup as well.
Won, I had a nice winner last night. You know what the total was for last night's game? Went off at 5.5.
Yeah, I had the over in last night's. I was really tilted yesterday because I had a over 5.5 in the earlier game yesterday, Seattle-St. Louis. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was an empty net and one of the players had a wraparound to score with 2 seconds left. And he hit the post on an empty net, on a wraparound, on a wide open net. So I was in a bad mood already. I had already bet the Florida over as well. And luckily that one was.
I mean, you cashed it in the second period.
Yeah, it was a no sweat. Five in the first
period.
Why
was it that low? Why was it 5.5 yesterday?
I think originally they did not expect the backup to start for Boston in that game when it was lined. As soon as there was the change and that was announced, it started to get bet up quite a bit. So I think it was just kind of like bad information that was out there.
Mm, which can happen certainly at the beginning of a season more than towards the end of a season, no?
Yeah, listen, local market tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs starting goalie is out for tonight's game. He has like some tightness in his groin. So he's not playing tonight, and it's like the first game of the year. You would think, you know, all the starters are starting. That's what sports is about, but it doesn't work out that way. It's long season, and sometimes they just, you know, take some precautions early on in the year.
Hey, Rob, like, is there, I don't want to say a recency bias because the Panthers won the cup months ago, but like when you win the cup, could you fade something or do anything where you take advantage of people knowing that they just won the cup?
I think some people galaxy brained themselves into doing that yesterday. A lot of times you get like the Stanley Cup hangover, you know, bet against them early in the year. And, you know, I don't really buy into just like random trends like that. I just like to evaluate the team on a year-to-year basis. And Florida's still very good. So I don't know why people were rushing to bet Boston in that game yesterday. But it's certainly something that people look at, Crowder. It's just not something I look at.
What do you think the chances are? And again, I'm not saying repeat, but what are the chances of a repeat? It would be the third Stanley Cup Finals in a row for this team. It's incredibly difficult what they're trying to do. But what do you think when you look at this Panthers squad?
Oh, it's within the realm of possibility for sure. The Eastern Conference is wide open in the NHL this year. There's just not much separating all the top teams that are there. You know, it would be challenging for sure, especially in a sport like hockey. Hockey is just really, really difficult because the way the structure of the playoffs is set up as well, it's very demanding. And you saw that, I mean, past years, there was the St. Louis Blues who had some runs, and players on those teams would talk about, well, you eventually just play so much hockey that your body's beat down. I mean, you're playing into June every year while the rest of these teams are off, and you don't have much time to recover in the offseason. So that's also an added element as the year goes on. But, I mean, they have a really solid team still. I mean, they're going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. So I think, like, probability-wise, I don't know. If I had to give you a random number, I would say something like 7% chance they repeat as cup champions.
There's a new food stand at the arena I noticed yesterday, acai bowls. You ever have an acai bowl?
Was that the one that that guy was eating when Solana found him in the food court and started eating out of his bowl or what?
Great call. Now, have you ever had an acai bowl?
I have not. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's not, not a Canadian
thing. It's cold.
Thing.
The acai is a frozen root that's the bottom of the base of the bowl. And we were kind of having the – because it's a very healthy meal, but would you eat something very cold at a hockey game?
I don't think I ever have, to be honest. Would I? If I was in the mood, sure. I'll eat anything if I'm in the mood for
But are you ever in the mood for something cold at the hockey game? Aren't you in the mood for chicken tenders or pizza or something warm?
See, I think it might be different in Sunrise than it is in Toronto because it's already cold here in the winter. So you walk into the arena and sometimes it's warmer in there than it is outside. So you're like, sure, I'll eat something cold. For you guys where the temperature's a little warmer, it might be different. But yeah, I guess I would. I've had ice creams at a hockey game. I've had a bowl of ice cream at a hockey game before, for sure. I've done that.
But Rob, to that point where a bowl of ice cream is like, you're going to the game to enjoy yourself. You're not looking at carbs and saturated fat at a sporting event. You want to eat something enjoyable and have a good time. You're there to have a good time, right?
100%. What's the best thing for me at a hockey game? An ice cold beer. Like, I don't want a warm beverage. I want a nice cold beer in an ice cold arena. I don't know why, but that to me is the best thing. So sure, I would eat cold food. I think that's
how many will you knock down? How many beers will you knock down during a hockey game?
So, I'm 6 feet tall. I weigh 170 pounds, but I can put them back. The problem is that I don't want to keep having to go to the bathroom at a hockey game. I prefer to do my drinking actually after the game. Like I'll have a couple beers while I'm in my seat, but I'll go out afterwards and then I'll get loaded because I don't like to get, you know, walk past people in the aisle constantly. You get to the top of the stairs, you got to wait for a stoppage and play before you can come down. You miss half the game if you do it that way.
Do you have a problem though when you do get loaded with perhaps being a bit cavalier with your finances and apps and what, you know?
Oh, great question. As a gambler, do you have to watch what you're doing if you start to have a few drinks?
I'll give you an example, Rob. When the Hard Rock Bet app down here in South Florida first launched, it was slim pickings at first of what we could bet. It wasn't during football season, and I found myself leaving boogies in South Miami, putting in bets at 2 a.m. on ping pong players in China.
Okay. China. So I'm not like a drunk bettor. That's not a thing that I have an issue with. I will say, this might sound like egotistical or arrogant. I'm just speaking the truth here. I have a money management problem. And I spend whenever I want something, I spend. I don't really think about the consequences of it. If I told you how much I spend on, for example, coffee in 1 month, some people's brains would explode because I don't even think about that. I just do it. If I want something, I do it. And it's completely counterintuitive to how I am as a bettor, because as a bettor, I'm very disciplined and regimented and I have my bankroll. I don't overextend myself, but in real, like I order food, you know, 5 nights a week. I order food more than I cook at home. I don't even look at the prices on Uber Eats or anything like that. I just do it. So it's not that the alcohol causes that, Solana. It's just who I am by nature. But I never honestly get the urge to bet stuff when I'm drunk or if I've had too. That's not. It's just I'm a frivolous spender is the real problem.
What about fights? You get into fights when you're drunk?
No, I've only gotten into one fight in my life.
At a hockey game?
It was not at a hockey game. It was in grade school. It was in grade 8. In the dressing room, we were arguing after gym class, me and another guy. I think he might have cost us a basketball game or something. A few punches were thrown, we got suspended. I've never been in a fight again, but yeah, that was it. I still know the guy. We still talk. We talk a few times a year, but getting into a fight with glasses is not ideal, I'll tell you that, because when you get punched in the face, the glasses like dig into you, you bleed. Right? It's not even a hard punch. The lenses just cause you. So I feel like I landed some good shots in that. And he came out looking a lot better than I did because I'm bleeding from one eye, basically. So no more fights with glasses, especially.
I like Crowder's take on it. Doesn't matter if the guy's bigger than you. Just got to say to him, listen, I don't know what's going to happen here. We're both going to end up in the hospital at the end of this thing.
Rob, that has stopped 100 fights in my life.
Honestly, that's a pro move. It's a pro move. Yeah.
I'm ready to get my ass kicked, but we're both going to the hospital.
Yeah, that's it.
You got a problem? I don't know who's going to win, me or you, but we're both going to the hospital. It makes people sit back and look at the situation like, damn, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't either, but that's what's going to happen.
Right. No, that's a really, really good move. That's the best piece of advice I think I've ever heard out of you, Crowder. Honestly, that would de-escalate so many fights if people just said that beforehand.
What will you do tonight for the Maple Leafs opener? This is a big, big night in your house?
It is not. So I'm actually in the I just bought a new house. I'm in the
process. So did Solana. He just closed yesterday. He wanted to close right before the hurricane hit.
I closed a week ago. Congrats, Solana. But you know what? I've never, this is the first time selling a house. I'd previously lived in a condo. So now I'm trying to turn this one over really quickly. So I'm actually in my house right now. It's completely staged. It's cleared out. I'm only doing shows from here, but then I got to go back to my parents' house tonight to watch the game. I'll be watching the game with my parents. I'm staying there for a few weeks while they got people coming to check out my house at night. So I'm a little bit out of my routine. I am going to the Leafs game on Saturday night though, against the Penguins. So I'm looking.
Will your mom make dinner tonight? What goes on there?
It's tough because she sees me ordering food. And as an Italian mother, she would be like, no, don't do this. Why are you wasting your money? I will cook you dinner, but I don't want to put her out either. So I'm going to get back there. I told her, don't make dinner for me tonight. I'll get food. I'll handle myself. I will get there. She will have made leftovers for sure. This is every Italian mother. I'll get there. Have you eaten? No. Here, sit down. I made leftovers. So I will end up eating.
We got a little manic hot, a little gabagool.
No, neither of those.
Ralph, I'm interested. As a homeowner selling your house, do you stay out of the way? Because when I did it in the past, I wanted to be there to like encourage the buyers. And hey, man, the neighbor's amazing back there. You know, hey, we're right here on this ridge. They
real estate agents,
us.
They hate that though.
They do.
I don't care what they hate. They work for me.
Yeah, it's true. So I trust my real estate agent a lot. He's a family friend. He sold my condo previously in life. He's a good guy. I trust him to get us the best deal on the house. He's politely asked for us to stay out of it, and I'll honor that. But I can say, like, part of me, Crowder, does want to be here and be like, you know, people ask questions like, what are the neighbors like? What's it? And I can answer those very quickly. So I get that point of view for sure.
Does your mom sauce? Does she call it gravy?
No, we've had this conversation before. I think that's like a New York, New Jersey thing. I've never personally in my life met another Italian person who calls sauce gravy. I've never.
I was in Philly last week, and we went to the Italian market. We ate at a place called Villa Rosa, and I knew the place was going to be good because the little sandwich board outside said, you know, spaghetti, gravy, you know, garlic bread, something like that, whatever. Yeah, gravy. It must be a Northeastern thing.
I think it is. I've never heard that before in my life. And it would very much confuse me if I saw a sign in downtown Toronto that said, come in, spaghetti, gravy.
If you got home tonight and you said, hey, Ma, you think you can make some mostaccioli with some gravy? She wouldn't know what you're talking about.
You know, we can test it out. I mean, I could live record it if you really want to. I can.
Nothing. I'm telling you, the power's going to go out here because of the storm. There's no football tonight. If you could send me something like that, it would go a long ways.
I'll try to remember to do that. I'll walk in. I'll pretend like I'm disappointed with whatever she cooked. And I say, can you make some, you know, rigatoni with gravy and see what she says?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I was kind of hoping you'd have some rigatoni and gravy ready, Ma. Right, okay. You call her Ma because you're Italian.
I call her Ma. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that I know.
You nailed it, Mark. You nailed it.
Leave this wonderful woman alone.
Yeah.
Don't pull his mom into these bits.
I'm actually curious. I'm curious if she would respond to grave, if she would know what I'm talking about.
Do you remember what you had me videotape for you, Crowder, about? See, my son is 20 now, so he must have been maybe 11, maybe 9 or 8 years ago. What you had me do?
When when you had the black kid at your house and made him eat macaroni and cheese for dinner?
No. You told me you told me to tape, because I don't yell at my son, never did. Crowder parents a different way that I do. Yep. Crowder said, I want to see DJ. That's my son. I want to see DJ's reaction. Whatever he says, you say, I'm trying to think of the situation that it was. Well, it was, I know what I used it for. Hey, enough of that. Get your black ass in the shower now. You remember that, Solana? Were you on the show when that happened?
No, I don't think I was.
I videotaped it because DJ was super young. And then he said something.
He would play video games and argue with you.
Yeah, get your black ass in the shower right now.
Mm. I was old.
I met DJ before, by the way. And if you recall, Mark, I asked him if you were a good dad. Do you remember what he said after that?
I do not.
He said, looked at me and said, no comment. That's what like, does this guy treat you good? Is he a good dad? He's like, no comment.
He wanted to stay neutral on the topic.
You never know ridiculous. If you're going to need a sponsor in Canada. Things go south here.
That's ridiculous.
Funny, man. All right, 49ers. Tomorrow night, 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite on the road in Seattle.
We don't have to cover sports if you don't want to. I'm fine to talk about it, but if you want to just keep asking me about my Italian
heritage, I don't
want
to,
whatever,
to be quite honest. I want to keep talking about mostaccioli and gravy.
Yeah. I caught the end of the segment, or you guys, the intro of this segment where Crowder was talking about the 49ers, and 49ers are coming in pretty banged up. I mean, this is a staple under Kyle Shanahan, though, where they tend to start slow and they pick up as the season goes on. I'm not buying Seattle right now. I've kind of just really soured on them, especially defensively over the last few weeks. You look at the injuries that they've suffered on defense in the front seven. It's been a real problem for them. Uchenna Nwosu came back last week, got hurt again. Derek Hall is probably going to miss the game. They're missing Reek Woolen probably tomorrow night at corner as well. So those are big injuries. And San Fran, they're a little bit underrated in market right now because they've blown games that they've just been in full control of late in the second half. They did it with the Rams earlier this year. Last week against the Cardinals, I mean, talk about a way to blow a game, but their kicker basically sprains his ankle when they're up by a bunch, and they can't kick a field goal. They kicked a short field goal with the punter. After that, they're basically playing four downs every single time. They had six trips into the red zone. They scored one touchdown in the game, and that's the difference in the game. So I laid the points with the 49ers tomorrow. Now, it's been bet to 3.5. Am I as comfortable? Listen, I don't want to lie to the audience and be like, oh, go lay the 3.5, no problem. I still think there's a little bit of value there on the 49ers 3.5, but you got to adjust your bets accordingly, right? It's not 3 anymore. Bet it a little bit smaller. So it's a 49ers or nothing game for me. I don't blame you if you pass, but I think the 49ers are a little bit undervalued right now.
About the Bears, this early game on Sunday. You watch out. You wake up early for the London games.
I do. Yeah,
you like it.
I'm always up early, no matter what, on an NFL Sunday. I don't actually like having the London game on in the background. I find it very distracting for me, and also it puts me in a really bad mood if I lose that game in the morning, because then I feel like I'm chasing for the rest of the day. It's weird. I can't describe it, but you just lose that one game in the morning. You feel like you're behind the eight ball the rest of the day.
But if you win, I mean, the rest of the day is gravy.
That it's gravy. It's sauce. Well,
whatever.
It's sauce.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This one will be interesting. It's a very, I hate using like a pros versus Joes game. I don't like that because people are always like, the pros are on this. The Joes are on that. Well, pros are on different sides of games all the time. And I'm sure that there's a pro that'll be on the Chicago Bears in this game. But the reality is everyone wants to bet the Bears in this game. And I'm not convinced that that's the right side because you're coming off of the Bears playing like three bad defenses in the Colts defense, which was, really injured in that game. The Rams defense, which has been bad. Then they got the Panthers defense last week who lost Jadeveon Clowney mid-game. They lost so many players mid-game, and it's making the Bears offense look really functional when I'm not sure it actually is. Now, the Jags defense is not good. So it's like, it's not like, I'm not saying here, oh, they're going up, step up in class. Bears will still probably find some success, but I don't expect the same type of game as last week. And you also have to remember, this is a trip the Jags make every year. They do this, they've done this every year for a decade now. They're used to the London game. You know, people are questioning why they're flying out on Friday this week. The Bears are flying out on Tuesday. It's like, well, they've done this a million times. They know which day of the week to fly out on, how to prepare for this game. There's a little bit of a home field advantage because the London fans cheer for the Jags in these games as well. So I'm probably going to bet Jacksonville in this game. I haven't clicked it yet, but in the range of plus 110, plus 115 money line, I like the Jags.
Oh, money line. All right. And then the biggest spread that I found, we didn't, because there's no Hurricanes, there's no Dolphins game. I just look for what the biggest spread is, because I always like your handicapping on this. If I know you, you're going to take the points. One thing I know about Pizzola, he likes teams that are getting a bunch of points. But man, this Browns team is so terrible that I wanted to hear your take on the game. It's Eagles and Browns. Eagles, last I saw, were 8-point favorites.
Yeah, and they got bet up today, some spots up to 9.5. I don't disagree with that. I mean, listen, the Browns are unbettable, in my opinion. They have the worst offense I think I've seen in the last decade. Like, this offense is worse than when Bryce Young was running the Panthers this year. They can't move the ball on anyone. And now you have the added benefit of the bye for the Eagles, where they're going to get Lane Johnson back at right tackle. They're going to get A.J. Brown back. They're going to get Devontae Smith back. It's a fully healthy Eagles team against the Browns offense that's I mean, it's just terrible. There's a metric in the NFL. It's an advanced metric. It's called EPA per play. It's measuring the probability that each play adds to a game. And it's been measured for quarterbacks in the NFL all the way back to 2007. In the first five games of the year, Deshaun Watson has the worst EPA per play that's been measured since 2007. That's how bad he has been at quarterback. And to make matters worse, I would have some interest in the Browns if I knew that, okay, Watson has a couple bad drives, Jameis will come in. And Jameis could be, listen, he could sling it. He'll make some mistakes for sure, but he's a big-time upgrade. But they're not going to do that. Like, they are not willing to eat this 200-plus million contract.
They have to stick with them. They're sticking with them.
Like, people are blaming Stefanski. You know, what's Stefanski doing? This is not a Stefanski decision. Like, this is at the ownership level where it's like, we're paying this guy. He's playing. So the Browns are unbettable for me. I would look to potentially play Cleveland team total under 16.5 is one option. Damn. If you have an 8.5 spread at your sportsbook right now, there's some that are out there. I would tease the Eagles down. So you use a 6-point teaser, you bring them down to -2.5 in the game, and you could potentially pair them with the Jags. You could potentially pair them with the Jets on Monday night at home as well. There's lots of options that you can go with. But no, I faded Cleveland last week. I could not believe that people were betting Cleveland last week against Washington. Like, have we not watched football this year? One of these teams moves the ball up and down the field nonstop. The other team can't pick up a first down to save their life. And one of them's favored by 3. Now we're getting into the point, though, where the market has caught on to how bad this team is. And you're getting these bigger point spreads. So I didn't bet it, but use Philadelphia in teasers this week.
Yeah, it is up to 9 on the Hard Rock app. And it was 8 this morning when I looked at it. So it is getting bet up. Rob Pizzola. He joins us every Wednesday around this time. And again, he comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, which is part of the Hammer Betting Network. Forward Progress produces daily NFL betting content that'll keep you informed, keep you a little step ahead of the book. So check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. I look forward to the video from Ma's house tonight.
Thanks, guys. Good luck with your bets this week. And everyone out there, stay safe. Obviously, you know, everyone's praying for the state of Florida right now. And hopefully, you know, this doesn't cause some catastrophic damage. So stay safe out there.
Appreciate that. You want to bet the over-under on barometric pressure in the eye wall?
You sound like the scumbag who would take the over on that. I'm hoping for under on everything, people.
Actually, you know, under pressure, on damage. I think the lower the better. Oh no, the okay. Lower is worse. I don't know.
Whichever one is worse, like, I don't want that side. I'm rooting for the people here, right?
I'm rooting for money. I'm rooting for money and Ma's gravy. All right, we'll see you, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Rob Pizzola.
You are listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, hit him with a yeah, boy.
Hawk and Crowder.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me talk about Hard Rock Bet here, because we were just talking a lot of gambling. You know, you've watched the first few weeks of the football season play out. It is time to try your first bet on the Hard Rock Bet app. Remember, if you don't win your first bet on the app, you get up to $100 back for a second chance. It's a bonus bet placed right into your account. So make that first bet up to $100. You don't win, they'll put a bet right into your account for that amount, up to $100. You don't have to just make straight bets, you know, who wins the game. You can do prop bets, who will score a touchdown, how many passing yards the quarterback will have, bet on the division races, MVP for the season, so much more. Obviously, college football is in play as well. We're in the heart of conference play. You can bet on all the college action as well. If you're not sure what to bet, you're kind of new to it, Hard Rock Bet, the app, shows you all the most popular parlays and props and picks that other people are betting across the app, and then you can tail any trending bet in just a few taps. In fact, if I look at the Hard Rock Bet app right now, let's see. What would be trending?
I just locked in the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would say, so here are some of like the, here's a trending parlay for the Dodgers, Padres. Shohei Ohtani, one home run or more, over a half a home run. Fernando Tatis Jr., a home run or more. Total runs in the game, over 7.5. And Dylan Cease, over 4.5 strikeouts. That's plus 4,000. That's a trending bet, though. That's plus 4,000.
I'm in.
Anyway, that's how easy it works.
I got the Dodgers money line, baby. They're not leaving tonight.
All you have to do to get started, I may have to do that too. I may have to tail that. All you have to do to get started, download Hard Rock Bet at the App Store, Google Play Store, go online to hardrock.bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. I'm keeping an eye on the Weather Channel. Hurricane Milton is a Category 3 right now, so it's weakening a little bit. It's going to make landfall tonight. The next advisory is coming up at 5, so just about 15 minutes from now. It's moving northeast at 17 miles per hour, so it has really picked up speed. Yeah. So it's going to hit land and probably get through the peninsula and be out into the Atlantic before tomorrow morning. So that's good news, at least, that it's moving quickly. Let me do 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. That's brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. So I was looking at the power rankings. You know, we've done this every week. I look at Dolphins Wire and USA Today, and they do power rankings, which is really just tiers of teams. You know, where it's not like ranked 1 through 32, it's tiers. And what they write, the headline is, an elite tier is separating from the pack. And I do kind of feel that way. They call the elite tier the contenders. They've got six teams in the contenders. Kansas City Chiefs, the Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens, and the Washington Commanders.
Ooh, the Commanders got you already.
They're an elite team. They are. They're an elite team.
They look good, but it's five games. I agree with all.
You know what, though? Certain times you get a feel, though, like where you get a feel that it's just the season is working for that particular team. That Commanders team is good. Jaden Daniels is so good.
Yes. And you never know about those quarterbacks, who's going to work out, who's not. You know, would you take him over Caleb already? We talked about that. You asked me that question.
No, because you've seen what happened to an RG3. There's others who have a great season, great two seasons. So I don't know. I know he looks unbelievable right now.
And they have that offense rolling. Like Rob even said it, that when you know, the offense is going to move the ball, which is amazing. Dan Quinn, I respect him. I played with him. No, I don't say under him. He was a defensive line coach, but Dan Quinn's a good dude. They're a physical team. Like the Ravens, perennial. I guess this is my thing. The Ravens, perennial playoff team. Lions, NFC championship last year. The Vikings, what they're doing right now, you know, undefeated. And then Kansas City's Kansas City. Hell, they should have a Kansas City tier and then the contender tier. But I just – the Commanders to be in there, the Texans, what they did, we know, we trust C.J. Stroud. We have a season under our belt. I just – the Commanders are the only one in that group that made me kind of shake my head.
Because don't you feel about the Commanders this year the way we all felt about the Texans last year, which was this team's going to be a problem moving forward, but even if they get into the playoffs, the second they face a legit contender, they're probably just too young to get over that hump right now.
But well, sometimes you're just good. Like, sometimes it just comes together and you're good.
It would be the Commanders, let's say, versus the Lions. Could the Commanders compete with the Lions right now? Who's the dog in the NFC? I would say yes. That's not going to be a blowout, which is crazy to say after five games. I guess, I'm damn near arguing against myself, but Commanders play the Lions right now. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Now, the bottom tier is the race for the number one pick. And if you remember last week, the Dolphins were in the bottom tier. They are no longer in the bottom tier. They are one tier up. A lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of work to do. In order goes the Giants, the Jets, the Bengals, the Titans, the Raiders, the Jags, the Colts, and then the last team just squeaked into this tier is the Dolphins. And then the race for the number one pick is the Rams, the Patriots, the Panthers, and the Browns. Unbelievable. The Browns, by the way, with the contract that Deshaun Watson has and what they gave up, that they are in contention for the number one pick.
And they're not benching him. Hawk, you said it. You said it, and it's crazy. You're 100% correct. You just gave somebody $230 million guaranteed, and he can't move the ball. Move the ball would be a joy for them. He can't get a first down.
He's terrible. Like, he's terrible.
It's the weirdest thing. Jameis Winston is a better quarterback than him.
Yes, totally agree.
But they can't put him in because he's making $45 million a year. Jameis making four or something. You see the business of the NFL right now in Cleveland, because there's no way that Watson should still be on that field. I didn't believe it. I argue with you this offseason. You kind of were like, I watched Jameis, you know, after he came back. I mean, I watched Deshaun. I was like, no, man, he'll get back on top. He was out a year and a half. He is bad. It's embarrassing right now watching Deshaun Watson.
Couldn't have happened to a creepier guy. All right, 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour is coming up. We'll get the 5 o'clock advisory and we'll get some headlines as well. So do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We'll break down some bowel movements here in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Hawk and Crowder.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.